John chapter 11, and thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God. We've got all these young men on the front row here. They're going to out shout you, out praise you, out worship you. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
Ain't no rock going to take my place. John chapter 11, again, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture beginning at verse number 1. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse number 6. It says, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in that same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. And his disciples say to him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Verse number 17. It says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laid in the grave 4 days already. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse number 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. Verse 34. He said, well, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse number 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? What's the guy's problem? Verse number 39. After them kind of murmuring, Jesus said, I want you to take that stone. Take away the stone. But Martha, the sister of Lazarus, said, well, he's been dead. Lord, by this time, he's dead 4 days. By this time, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Verse 43 and 44. After he prayed, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, well, just loose him and let him go. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, tonight for this opportunity to be together. We ask the Lord in the next few moments of time that you open our ears, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Stretch us tonight, God. We thank you for wearing the Holy Ghost in our song service and in our worship and in our prayer. It's time to take that step forward to move into the realm of that Holy Ghost power. We give you praise, we give you glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be standing. You may be seated. Habit. You ever know in a time of crisis, in the midst of a need, is that it's you who is overwhelmed by the understanding that an urgent response is required? It has to happen now. I need it to happen today. I can't wait until tomorrow. Right now. You can say, well, as a soul in need, it's often we who begin to call upon God in need. You with me?
Yes. Yes.
Otherwise, it's we who tend to be the ones to leave God somewhere in the back burner of our time and attention.
Right.
I don't need him. Why should I bother him? I'm good. Everything's going all right. Need? Jesus? Where are you? What's going on? How come you haven't been around? What's different? What's happening in my life?
All right.
What I want to point out to you tonight is this. The fact that when God shows up in our lives with a desire to bring to pass what it is we've called upon him for, often fear or doubt or unbelief along with our own human set limitations are they which turn to prove be what holds God bound. I need him to come. And so Jesus shows up, says, I'm here. Says, but you can't be here. You can't meet this need. There's no way you're going to help me out of this mess. This one's bad. You called me, didn't you? You wanted me to... I did call you, but I just don't believe things can happen. And you see, I'm afraid. So you want God to heal you? Your desire is for God to answer your prayer, to meet your urgent need, but for one reason or another, you see, it's not God who cannot or who will not.
Right.
But God is the one who often can do nothing and cannot bring it to pass what you have petitioned him for, what you've been praying unto him for, because through the operation of fear and doubt and that spirit of unbelief, in effect, you're the one that's holding the end of that rope that holds God bound. I trust him.
All right.
I don't trust him. I believe in him.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe in him. God says, I can do this. My desire is to see it to come to pass. But at all costs, it's you, ladies and gentlemen, saints of God tonight, who must have that desire to turn God loose. Yeah. Let him do what God says he can do.
Right. Right.
Let him be God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Right.
I say I believe in him and I trust him. Let me share with you about a young man that when I was growing up, I'm the young man. My brother used to kind of spook me a lot when I was a little boy. He used to tell me, don't let your arm fall off the side of that bed because that ghost is going to grab you and pull you underneath the bed. I was 19 and 20 years old, brother. And to check under my bed before I got into the covers, and I had got well into a habit of keeping my arms tucked underneath the covers right above my side. And if I woke up with my hand hanging on the side, 19, 20 years old, 20, yes. Anyhow, I pull my hand back in there and check, sometimes turn the light on. And so I come into the church, you see, and that same spirit of fear.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Wants to grab you. You want to pray to God and you trust God, you say you believe in him. Well, we in the city of Kelowna, where we were just babies and we cut our teeth in the gospel, we had this church, and the church was old, had wooden pews, and had like a deep burgundy kind of carpet, curtain, that kind of hung. It was like the veil, but it wasn't as thick, that led to the upstairs. And we used to go over to the church to pray. And if my wife would come with me, or another brother in the Lord would come with me to go pray, I had no problem going to prayer. But one night, I got tired of fighting fear. You ever get tired of fighting fear?
Oh, yeah.
That devil comes, he starts whispering in your ear, telling you ain't no good, nothing's going to happen, and you can't touch God if you tried, and God is not going to hear you, he doesn't love you. I'm not talking to anybody tonight. Anyhow, I'm going to go to church, and I am going to touch God.
Right? Come on.
I'm going to kick the devil and drop him in his socks and go to church and pray.
Yeah.
It was nighttime, and it was dark.
Yeah.
Now, I told you what I told you before, because that stays in the back of your mind.
Right.
Yeah.
The dark, alone. I never hunted alone. Didn't like doing stuff like that. And fishing alone. I was not a loner. So anyhow, I'm going to church this time, and I'm going to let God have his way. So I get to the church. It's about 9 o'clock at night in the winter time, and I flicked a whole bunch of lights on, and I'm thinking, I'm going to let God have his way, and I'm going to overcome this demon of fear, and I'm just going to come out of my shell and just let God just pour out that Holy Ghost on me, and I'm by myself. So, all the lights on, I'm by myself and I'm looking at that curtain, and I don't know about you, but in a kind of a spooky place, and the church shouldn't be a spooky place, but mind you, if your mindset's there,
right,
the spirit of doubt is there, it is a spooky place. So I'm walking around, I'm going, Jesus! And I'm praying, God, you're almighty and you're powerful, and I'm walking around the pews going around, and the wooden ones, and I start getting loose. I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost, and I'm thinking, I'm waving my hands and thinking, I'm conquering the spirit, this fear that gripped me from a young boy right into my young manhood. I was about 22 and a half. I didn't want to be 23 yet. But anyhow, I was 22 in my 22nd year, and when I'm going somewhere. I'm walking around and I'm getting a hold of this, and God is finally going, oh, you bypassed fear, you overcome your doubt, now you believe that I am real and that I can touch you by yourself. And I'm like, yeah, this is good. And I'm walking around, I'm waving my hands. Well, unbeknownst to me, my pastor come into that building from the basement, and there wasn't no buzzer to let me know. He walked in, nothing. He snuck upstairs, and I'm like, God, I want you to touch me, and I want this Holy Ghost to move on me. And I'm thinking, I have conquered this enemy of fear. And I went around the church about 5, 10, 15 times, and we had like a little nursery off to the side. And we had like a sheer curtain there and a window. And my pastor went into that nursery and he started squeezing that window just open a little bit more. And I was so lost in God, ladies and gentlemen. I was ready to let that Holy Ghost power just go, oh! And this was really good. I'm waving my hands. I'm going, oh, Jesus, touch me! Touch me, God! And you know where I'm going? I didn't know. Anyhow, touch me, God! Have your way! And you know, he got that window open about 2-3 feet, just enough, and I had my eyes closed, my hands, and I'm waving, and I come around that window, and at the most opportune time, my pastor, I put my hand out like this and said, touch me, God! That rain turned God loose! And it wasn't God, ladies and gentlemen, my pastor, and he grabbed my arm and goes, hey, no! Me and it scared him. He's laughing and crying. I'm just crying. I'm so scared. It was rapture practice. But we want to set God free. You see, and God shows up and says, I'm here to set you free. No, you're not. Because you can't. I can. Give me a chance. I have to be honest. Confession's good for the soul. It was months before I went back to that church alone. It really was. But you gotta turn God loose. I just about did. And other things as well. I said, go. I said, I just about did. God says, I can do this. I can strengthen you. I can bless you. I'll pour my spirit out upon you. I want to do this. Just turn me loose. Just let it happen. You see, in the book of John, chapter 11, in the 6th verse, lies the primary factor and concerns to what often happens and brings about doubt and fear in the hearts and in the minds of an individual. It's that time, and he said it tonight, it's that time of delay, that waiting period, the time when you feel as though your petitions, your prayers unto God is what's being left unanswered without a reply. Come on. Urgent response.
Yeah.
I need, you know what? I don't have a job. I was working in the paint industry, and it was the early 90s, and they did something called downsizing. They probably still do it today. And they walked in and said, you did nothing wrong. The big guy from Vancouver was there. And at the end of the day, very long story short, they let me go. And we had one vehicle, so I'm walking home. I'm feeling sorry for myself, looking at God, thinking, now what am I doing? I've got a mortgage, got 2 kids, got a wife, got bills, got a van payment, everything. We're just financially strapped. What are we going to do? So I go to my pastor and said, Pastor, you know what he tells me? He says, get an education. get an education? I didn't say that. Get an education, said my wife says to me. She goes, oh, this is fine. You can go back to school and upgrade your education. How do you upgrade my education when I've got bills to pay? How am I supposed to? Okay. God says, give me an opportunity.
Yes.
I'll upgrade you.
Right.
I'll take you from Walmart and put you somewhere better.
Right.
But you know that time of delay, just like it happens. Here it goes in John 11 and 6. The Bible says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still. Hello, he's sick. Sometimes in our prayer life, we say our prayers in the midst of our needs. We say, okay, 20 minutes. Okay, obviously, God is not hearing me. Well, how about maybe, how about 30, 40 minutes one day? Okay, I'm getting ready to give up on God. I'm just, you know, I'm expecting him to respond. He does not care. But he does. I can't wait very much longer. And some have even spoken such words, maybe not exactly like this, but in a similar fashion. Maybe God is anemic. And he just doesn't care. He can't do it.
All right.
See, in our scriptural settings, it was Jesus who stayed behind 2 days. But the truth is, it wasn't because he was not going to perform a miracle. But I believe it was because Jesus wanted to ensure all of them that were there. They become aware of the fact, the most important fact before them was that Jesus Christ, God become flesh, was one who can do anything that our God chooses to do. He doesn't want you to go, look what I have done, look at my accomplishments, but look what the Lord has done. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that turned me around. He's the one that took the mess and made it a miracle. I went to the doctor and the doctor healed me. No, they did not. God healed me. God touched me. You put it into perspective. You see, I finally let God touch me. How many times and you come to pastor and you get prayed for and you go home sick? What pastor's problem is, it ain't his problem at all.
That's right.
It says, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It doesn't say that they will. And we're not God.
Right.
So prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall lift them up. When we turn God loose, how many times really, you know, and I hope I don't get too pastoral tonight, but how many times do we get to that place, we come, we get prayed for, we have this need in our life, and we really don't believe in God for the answer.
Right.
We're not ready to turn him loose.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Let's step back and let God do this. Let's just see what the Lord wants to do.
Yeah.
Time and time again in my young Christian walk, it was my beautiful wife that was the one that helped me to increase my faith, because I'm a matter of a fact kind of person. Tangible. You ever get to this way, gentlemen, if you're married tonight, and you ever get this way, the wife says, what would you like for dinner? I was the kind of guy, I said, chew food. Would you like some soup? Would you like a Pepsi? Soup. Chew food. I want tangible, solids. I want something solid. I don't want something liquid. So we get God in that same fashion. You say, well, I want things tangible. I want to see it. Well, sometimes God doesn't just show it to you. It doesn't just happen when you want it to.
Right.
Can I give you the prayer in the garden on the human factor? Not thy will, but mine be done. That's not what Jesus prayed. He said, not my will, but thine be. Well, what if it's God's desire, like he did with Lazarus, to hang back? What if, you know what? I did go get me an education. I learned my RBCs, my 1, 2, 4s, 3s. I upgraded, and I got into the insurance industry. I started selling house insurance, and I was an old guy. I was 37 years old.
Yeah. Old.
Things happen. When I first looked at that, let's confess. I thought, God, you have forsaken me. I paid my tithe. I've been faithful to church.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said that before.
But God said, well, just turn me. I'll turn you loose, all right? Answer this prayer. Meet the need. He tarried 2 days. Sometimes God tarries in our prayers. Church, But then we figure we're setting them free. We come to church, we're going to shout the victory, and you go home and you're still broke.
Yeah.
You go home and you know what? You get up in the morning, you go to the job, and he says, we don't need you anymore. You're fired. Things don't happen. You go home and you got prayed for and you got sick. Our pastor used to teach us, you know what? When you come to the altar, you come to the altar, you know, you bring your prayers, your burdens, and you leave them there. But how many times we pick them back up? He says, just turn me loose. Yep. Let me take that from you. Let me take that addiction. Turn your life around. Let me touch your body and heal you. Why would you think that I wouldn't heal you? It's your Father's good pleasure. So in concerns to your prayers, and concerns to your needs, your petitions that you make unto God, never does there come a time that God does not hear you. God understands what it is that you need, but there do come those times when God, pardon me, is just not going to jump to your beckon and call. Do it in my time. Delays. Verse 17 of John. When Jesus came, he found that he had been laying in the grave 4 days. It was Martha who, before Jesus, showed her limited human perception of the ability to be able to grasp that miracle opportunity, what Jesus could do. Did you know that Jesus was healing the sick? He was touching the deaf ears and opening up blinded eyes. He probably fed the 5,000, whatever. He was doing all kinds of miracles, and suddenly your problem's bigger than all those. You know, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. He's going to rise again. Oh, sure, in the resurrection. How about Jesus possesses all the power that we ever need? Just turn him loose. What she should have said is, all right, God, I'm going to step back and let you see what you can do. You've done this, you've done... We need to have a trophy closet. Anybody have a trophy? This happened. They healed my baby. He touched my mind. He, you know what? He got me that job. He turned that around. I was kind of getting cold in God, and he made me hot, and things started happening. And I just... You know what? I go back to there in 1900 and 2000, and this is what God did. Well, why can't God do it? Because we hold that rope. I wish God could, but I don't think he can. See, I believe as we as humanity are the guilty parties of being the ones blind to, the ones party who bind God's hands, allowing our doubt and fear to set that. But I guess God doesn't care. God doesn't understand. God doesn't know. God doesn't hear. How about God's tied up? You need to give him scissors and cut him loose. The illustration, the lack of faith instead of the operation, the power of faith, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes in our life, when it's we who perceive that God has stepped out of the picture, that's a good time. Now it's no longer you, it's me. Not me, him. Now it's no longer you in control. You ever had, you got broken, so you turned to Visa, MasterCard, American Express, whatever card you had, and then when that one got topped, and God's going, I just want to touch you, I want to bless you financially, I just want to do this for you, just cut me free. Set me free.
All right.
Let me be loose.
All right. Yeah.
You're tying my hands. You're using your cards, your credit, your ability. Why don't you give me a chance to turn it around?
Right.
God will pour His Spirit upon you when you, in your mind, and in your... We come to church. What do we expect? Church. What's the pastor going to do? Preach. What's going to happen? Altar call. We have 2 songs, 3 songs, offering. I said to the guy tonight, I said, you guys didn't take up an offering. So your custom is different from our custom. I said, well, go get the purses and wallets and dump them all upside down and take up an offering. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that, but I did mean it. We tie him up. We don't come to church expecting to be healed, expecting to be touched, expecting for God to move. We tie him up.
All right.
Do I come to church and say this tonight? I am going to run the aisles. Tonight, I am going to praise and pray and sing. I'm going to outdo that psalm leader. That praise team ain't got nothing on me. I am going to turn God loose. I am going to have me a time. No, it's Sunday. No, it's Wednesday. It's midweek Bible study. It's pre-service prayer. I preached a message a long time ago, why do we stall until the altar call? What says God can't move in pre-service prayer?
Oh, standing next to somebody and they're just sitting there twice plucked up by the roots and you're going anyhow, not racing the Dodge in the Ford. Anyhow, I'm wanting to turn God loose and you got the rope tied around your hand. You ain't gonna do nothing. You're in a pew, you know, and the Holy Ghost is moving and some guys next to you, ladies are next to you, and their knuckles are white. They ain't gonna let nothing happen. Ain't no way God's gonna touch me. He does, I'll scream. I'll just get out of here. And you're going, oh, oh.
Yeah, come
on. Well, he's acting like a fool as a song leader. I'm not gonna look. Well, I don't look like him. You see, I'm trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's turning God loose. Well, how come he goes home? And you know what? He's changed. He's walking out there. He's got a click. You can't click in the step on the carpet. But anyhow, you got that step, you know, and you're walking out here the way you came.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
No, it's nothing different. He's preaching on turning God loose. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I left my Bible at home. Don't care. The other guy's going, and turn the Bible. And you look, and then you're going to be my cheering section. And you're going to just, you're going to operate in that spirit of faith, and I'm going to let God have his way.
Right.
You know what kind of services you would have? I mean, it would be getting dead on dead when you're dead on over. You have to take your turn on one of the aisles. You have to take your turn and worship me. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Why? They are higher. I can come to church tonight and I can get the Holy Ghost. I can come to church tonight and I can be healed. It used to frustrate me to no end. I went to my pastor as a young minister and he'd go away and say, Pastor, I think I'm 3/4 backslid. He goes, well, what'd you do? I said, I went and prayed for a sister or brother so-and-so and they went home sick. You know what the problem is? I said, what's the problem? You think I'm Ashley? You ain't God.
Right.
You do what you're supposed to do and let God do what he's supposed to do.
Right.
On the scripture says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not yet seen.
Right.
Just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass.
Right.
You can stay back there in your mind and thoughts of the prison house while I can see the prison doors open. You see, I can see my body healed. I can see my brother and sister coming into the church. I can see my bachelor kids walking through that door. I can see my husband or my wife going, I am not in the world. Brother Paul Reynolds is the man that baptized us November the 14th, 1982. Before our baptism, there ain't no way he's going to be saved. Ain't no God can help that useless human being, that poor excuse for a man and his wife. Yeah, she's a bigger problem. She's holding him back. She's going, I like this stuff, and I want God, and I want this Holy Ghost. And I'm going, yeah, skeptical, I don't think so. You know, what if these guys are moonies? You never know. I mean, what if we go there and they dupe us? They tell us some kind of a lie, and they trick us to join a cult and get on. And she's going, no, I really believe God, and I think God can really help us. And my brother thought she was the biggest problem, and I was another problem. There was no hope for